Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Welcome to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane here on 109.9 Penn Station. Well, it's Thankful Thursday once again, and I would like to give thanks for the ability of practicing gratitude. And when we practice gratitude, it literally changes the course of your thought life, your emotions, and ultimately the circumstances of your life. There's just something about being grateful that seems to cause the windows of heaven to open up to you. And so tonight, I am thankful for the gift of thankfulness. For truly, it is a gift indeed. My morning started off very special, really special. It kind of went downhill from there. And I saw a post from someone wishing me a great day, and it was just what I needed. I knew it was a message from above reminding me that when all seems like it's at its worst, it's not. So that's, you know, for me to just stop and take a moment to realize that all the blessings I have, and it caused a real shift in my demeanor. And it kept working. And so the course of my days became better. And so let that be my encouragement to you, that no matter where you find yourself, know that there are still blessings in your life to be thankful for, and watch the miraculous power of gratitude change your entire outlook. So we are a month into our Healthy Relationship series. And if you missed the first four episodes of this series, be sure to check out the archives. We had an amazing guest with us all last month who gave such sound relationship advice. And put into practice, it is sure to change your relationship results. His name was Derek Sanders. Really, really great show, so be sure to check those out. So typically when we think about relationships, it is between that of a man and a woman. And for the most part, that is what this series is about. However, there are some principles that just apply to relationships as a whole, regardless of gender. So take the principles and apply them in your life where you need them most. You know, real talk. Unhealthy friendships can be just as toxic and just as much of an energy drain as having an unhealthy relationship and a romantic relationship. And, you know, we can really do without all of that. That stuff gets in the way when we are thinking about and trying to live an abundant life. And we just don't need to have stuff that is just drawing us away from our life's purpose. So in order to know where you're going, you've got to pinpoint where you've been. And you also need to know where you are right now. So this is where we slow things down. I know we talked about a whole lot of stuff over the last few weeks. We were trying to just really kick this relationship series off with a bang, and so, you know, we just let it just rip. And so we just talked about all sorts of things. But now we actually get a chance to kind of go back and slow down and really just kind of take it systematically, you know, piece by piece, what is it that we need to do in order to really be able to recognize who we are and set the course for change and then be able to walk out the fullness of that change. And so that's where we are now. We are slowing it down. And so, and we need to spend some time being introspective, delving into the patterns in our relationships that was noticed. It's time to pray and really seek God and have him show you where you need to work on it. This is also when you get to figure out how. And you will find a couple things happen at this juncture. One, when you make the decision to change some things, all of what you need to make the change will appear on your path. And I know we've kind of talked about that before. There's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and so you will find that where you are, that people and books and resources and, you know, whatever it is that you need in order to be able to make this change, it will happen. So I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe in coincidence. I do believe in divine appointments. And so if you happen to be listening to the show tonight, it is not by accident. This is your appointed time to be listening to the show. There's obviously something that you're supposed to get out of the show that will be here for you. So, you know, I'll just do what I do and, and just be open for whatever it is that the Spirit wants to speak to you that you need for tonight. So you may find that a different caliber of person that you are used to dealing with may emerge just to show appreciation for you. So since we are talking about, like, relationships, and we are going to kind of focus on them being, you know, male-female relationships, that sort of thing, and you may be walking into a credit union or, you know, the bank or something, you know, grocery store, and someone who might not normally have ever paid any attention to you, you know, may smile and open the door for you or, tell you how nice you look. And it's not necessarily to start a relationship, not even necessarily to start a dialogue. It's just to let you know that the work that you're doing is on target. And so when those kinds of things happen, just know that that's the universe letting you know, hey, you know, I see the work that you're doing, and I'm letting you know that you're right there on target doing what you're supposed to do. So that's one of the things that you need to know. The second thing that will happen is that what you are used to dealing with is going to cross your path again. That's very important for you to know. And so this is, it's kind of a crossroads because you have to decide that you are going to allow lasting change to take place in your life. If not, you'll be pulled back into your old patterns of dysfunction, but it is your choice. And so you have to know that it's coming so that, you know, when what you are used to dealing with crosses your path, you know, you'll know to stop and step back, take a moment, think, reassess again, and then really have to, you know, you can ask yourself the honest questions, because, of course, part of living this abundant life is being authentic and asking ourselves the questions that we need to ask, and then listening to that small, quiet voice inside that's giving us the answer of truth that we really need in order to be able to, you know, to process, you know, through all of that. So you'll have to decide, you know, do you want what you want, or do you want the change that you're seeking? And so you just kind of need to know ahead of time that, you know, a test, if you will, is going to cross your path. And you need to be prepared and think about, you know, what you're going to do and how you're going to respond to it so that you can pass the test and then move on to the next thing, you know, the next part of this journey. You know, and I do try to keep things very real with you here, you know, on the show. And the journey out of where you've been is not going to be easy. And sometimes it's going to be much slower than you want it to be. But, you know this. You know, who you are is not who you became overnight. It was over a series of time, and those patterns did not, hit into place overnight, and they're not going to change overnight either. So give yourself time and just keep working the process. You know, just be patient with yourself. And, you know, when you are really trying to make these changes, you know, like who you surround yourself with is important, because, you know, there is that whole crabs in the barrel, you know, mentality of, you know, you are in a certain place, and the people who have been in that lifestyle with you, you know, in one way, shape, or form, may not be real excited about the fact that you were trying to empower yourself and get your life back. And so they may be very discouraging in the things that they say to you. And, you know, you may even find folks talking about you behind your back. But all of that stuff is important, and you need to pay attention to the things that are going on around you so that you can make the kinds of decisions that you need to make. So, you know, if you are really in a place of wanting to make a change, then, you know, it's possible that some of the people around you are going to have to change too. And, you know, this is a deep work that you're doing. You know, relationships can really just take a whole lot of stuff out of you, I'll say that. You know, they can fill you up or they can leave you empty. Sometimes they can leave you beyond empty. They can leave you overdrawn even. And so, you know, for something as important as, you know, how you're going to be attracting people into your life, and someone who's going to be taking up space in your life, you need to be mindful of keeping people around you that really desire for you to have the life that you were created for. And sometimes people just aren't. They just don't have your best interest at heart. And you just need to see them for who they are. There's a saying, you know, that when people show you who they are, pay attention, you know, the first time. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you are seeing a horse for a horse, you know, and not calling it something else, you know, just because it's convenient or whatever. Okay? So one of the things that we want to recognize in the midst of this process is that relationships are just a mirror of what's going on inside of us. That's a hard pill to swallow. I'm going to say that again. Relationships are just a mirror of what's going on inside of us. Okay, and so when you have the honest conversations and then you listen for that that quiet voice of truth inside of you, you will find that to be true. So that's very difficult, you know, because, you know, if you have been in a situation where someone has really just, I'm going to just, you know, go there, someone has really just dogged you out, they've really just mistreated you, and you're thinking, you know, no, I didn't deserve that. I know I didn't deserve that, you know, and yet, you know, how is it that that's a mirror of what's going on inside of me? Well, it is still a mirror of what is going on inside of you. There was something in you that felt that you deserved it, and so, you know, it came. And so, you know, I liken it to say that, you know, people have radars that they send off, and so, you know, a certain type of person will not approach you, you know, if you're not in the same kind of sphere that they are, that they're in. And so, you know, if you are attracting people who are mistreating you, or they are using you, or they are abusing you, even neglecting you, you know, there's something in you that has sent that out that it's okay. And we're not going to beat ourselves up about where it is that we've been. It just is what it is, you know. And it is what it is until it can become something else. And so that's part of what we're doing here, is helping it to become something else. And, you know, every portion of our journey is important. And even though it seems like it's kind of, you know, off topic, you know, there are people that we are each called to reach. And we reach them by having come through some stuff. And so, you know, they're saying, you know, all the cute little cliches, you know, oh, the mess of your life or the misery of your life becomes your message. Your test becomes your testimony. You know, and even though, you know, we are tongue-in-cheek about that, the truth is, it's the truth. And so, you know, when you have come out of something, you know, it gives you a platform from which to speak into the lives of somebody else and say, you know, hey, it does it this way. Let me tell you where I've been. Let me tell you about my process, and let me tell you how I got out, you know. And it's just important to know that, you know, where you've been is not just for you. It's for other people, too. And so, yeah, sometimes I would say, and I've been through all kinds of stuff, and I don't really talk about so much of that anymore, but during some of the earlier broadcasts when I was first learning the foundation of, like, the law of attraction and the things that we are doing here at Living Abundantly, I talked a lot about some of the things I had gone through. And it's not that it defined me, because it really didn't, but it became the very platform that I was able to use in order to be able to speak into your life. I don't know about you, but, you know, it's not okay for someone who has not been through anything to be telling me that, you know, everything's going to be okay. How the heck do you know? So, you know that if I'm speaking on it, it's stuff that I've had to deal with in one way, shape, or form in my life, and, you know, and I've had to work through it, and it just is what it is. And so, you know, your journey is not for you. And I remember saying to the Lord years ago, you know, like, I am really not feeling like most of this stuff. However, if you can use the mess of my life and help other people to get their healing, then I guess my life won't have been in vain. You know, like, would I want to, like, redo anything that I've been through that has been less than savory? Absolutely not. But the experiences are the experiences, and the things I've been through are the things that I've been through, and it doesn't change. You know, it doesn't change anything. It just is what it is. And so, since it is what it is, how can I use what it is to empower other people? And so from saying that, because there may be people who cross your path, and you may have to delve kind of deep and let them know some stuff that you've been through. But it may be just the thing that they need in order to be able to know that they can make it through. Oh, God, well, if that happened for them, and that person was able to come through, then, you know, then maybe I can come out of this too. So, you know, I guess I'm saying all of that to say, don't beat yourself up about where it is that you've been. It all just serves a purpose, you know. And even though the purpose may not be revealed immediately, it's always revealed in time. And so, you know, that's where we are with that. One of the scriptures that we'll be focusing on tonight is Proverbs 20:14, and this is pretty. This is a pretty powerful passage. Short, but it says, "It's no good. It's no good," says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. I'm gonna say that again. "It's no good. It's no good," says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. And so in this passage, they are talking about, you know, someone who is going, you know, you're, in biblical times, they're probably talking, you know, street peddlers and that sort of thing. They're in the market, and they are trying to convince someone who is selling something that what they have to sell has no value. And so, now mind you, if the person's asking for it, then obviously they see some sort of value in it, and yet, you know, the person who sold it knew that it had value, you know, marked the price where the price was, knew what it was that they had, and then this buyer comes, wears them down, and convinces them that what they have is not of value or esteem. Talks them down off the price, gets it for pennies on the dollar, and then walks away laughing because he just got a prize, a treasure for pennies, something that was priceless. And so how does that apply to me and you? How many times have you, you know, started off somewhere, you know, kind of knowing, oh, I deserve to have this, or I deserve to have a job that pays well, I deserve to have a relationship that is mutually beneficial, not just, you know, one person just sucking the life out of the other. You know, how many times have we stepped into a situation like that, you know, and then through, you know, whether it's something the person blatantly said, you know, because, you know, there are people who are, you know, just foul, and they're rude and they're cruel, and they will say stuff like, you know, you ain't about nothing, you know, you ought to be glad that I want you, you know, I'm the only one who wants you, that sort of thing. People can be dealing with some real other stuff, and if we have been beat down enough, sometimes we believe those lies, and so, you know, we may have started off knowing that we were one type of person or that we deserved one kind of thing or one kind of treatment, and then through the wearing down of, we have been convinced that we don't deserve to have what other people have, or we don't deserve to have a life of quality, of substance. We don't deserve to have respect. We don't deserve to have, proper treatment. And, of course, we know that those things are lies, but in the midst of the circumstance, we sometimes lose sight of the fact that, you know, it was a treasure, and we just threw it away, or we just gave it away. You know, meanwhile, the person on the inside is laughing. Ha, 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 I have tossed this person out of their treasure, so now they don't expect anything of me. I can treat them any kind of way. You know, they'll keep coming back. You know, they want me, and, you know, it doesn't matter how I treat them. And so, you know, we have to know the things that come against us. We have to know and not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. It is no good. It's no good, says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. And so we want to make sure that from tonight on, you know, that we not only know what it is that we have inside of ourselves, you know, who we are, what we are. You know, we need to know not only who we are, but whose we are, you know, that our value comes in that. I saw a post on Facebook one day, and the person was talking about how, you know, average vehicles and stuff like that they advertise for, you know. And so, you know, you see all the ads in the newspapers. You see, you know, commercials. You see pop-ups on your computer screen, all that kind of stuff. And yet when it's something exclusive, you know, like a Bentley or, you know, something of that caliber, they don't advertise because they know that the person who knows what it is that they're looking for, the person who values something at that level, they know how to find it. Oh, doesn't that just speak? They know how to find it. So That just reminded me of a scripture, too, that talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. He who finds. So that means that he already knows what he's looking for, just like that buyer of that esteemed vehicle or of that esteemed product knows what he's looking for, knows the value of it. And he's not going to go into the dealership trying to finagle the price. He's going to pay what they ask for it. And so, me saying to you, aren't you worth the asking price? Aren't you worth the asking price? You are a daughter or a son of the Most High. The Most High. So you come from royal lineage. You know, that makes you a princess or a prince. Aren't you worth the price? And the answer to that is yes. But you have to first be able to see yourself and to know that you are worth the price. First of all, you have to know that you are royalty and that you can demand a price. How about that? And so, even when you go to exclusive jewelry stores and stuff like that, they have stuff that's out there in the, out for, the average buyer to see. But, like, the exclusive stuff is not even on the floor. they have to bring that stuff out or take them back to private rooms and stuff to be able to see that kind of stuff. So, know that your worth is there. You are not just a casual commodity. You are not just average, and there's so much more in you than that. And so, you need to know that even though people may have worn you down and may have devalued you, that you don't deserve what has happened. And you need to be able to tell yourself that you have worth and value. Now, like I said, I have been there and done this too. And so, I know that when we have not received the kind of teaching or uplifting when we are in our youth from our families, and that sometimes it's just because they don't know. When we have dysfunction, we pass dysfunction down. We teach what we know. And so, if you don't know that you have worth and then you have children, you pass that along to them, even unknowingly. And so, you do the best you can, but they're watching everything too. So, you have all those kinds of things going on. And it's just important for you to know, who you are. But we'll go back to that. Back to this. And so when you go back in time and then you start searching within yourself for the roots of the dysfunction, it may be deeper than what you can deal with on your own. And that's okay. It just is what it is. Remember, we are not beating ourselves up about anything that we've done. Oh, the point that I wanted to get to when I was talking about the family is that we may have learned early on that we didn't have any value or may not have been taught that we did have value. And so, by the time you get older and you are starting to attract relationships, you're just attracting them over and over and over again. And so, it may not be the last relationship you were in or even the one that you're in currently that that caused the damage that you're going through or that has been done. It may have started years and years before. It is what it is. So this is what we need to do, and we're going back, and we are searching within for the roots of dysfunction. And it may be deeper than you can deal with on your own, okay? It may be necessary for you to get some help to work through it all, especially if you have been through abuse. That stuff leaves scars, sometimes it doesn't even heal. And so here is my little philosophy about therapy. Been there and done that, right? Okay, a couple times. But when you have a wound and the wound has just been left untreated, if you will, it will scab over, but it won't heal. And so when something comes up and it triggers it, it triggers whatever it is that caused you pain. So it rips the scab off of that wound, and then it goes deeper. It'll scab over again, and that process keeps going and going. But every time the scab gets ripped off, and it has to start bleeding, and the wound actually gets deeper because it was never dealt with. So what therapy does, and it's not pretty, you want to take your box of Kleenex and stuff with you. But what therapy does is therapy forces you to rip the scab off yourself. And then it has to bleed out. And all that stuff that's in there and all those areas and all those things that have caused you, you know, layers and layers and years of pain, you know, it has to bleed out. But when it's done, it heals. It may leave a scar. It may not. But it heals. And then it no longer has the ability to just, you know, be there waiting on the next person or the next situation to just come and rip the scab off because there is no scab. And so the thing that had all this power over you and all of this ability to hurt you, it loses all of that because it's now healed. It just becomes a memory. Yeah, how about that? You know, isn't that an interesting thing to be able to kind of look back over some of the worst areas of your life and then those areas not have that thing that they had, or, you know, not take you emotionally right back where you've been, where there's, you know, tears and you are, you know, depressed for days and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's just an experience. It just becomes an experience. It's just something that you live through, and you can talk about it just as, you know, casually as you can talk about, oh, yeah, I went to the store today. You know, going through, you know, therapy and going through the healing process takes you to that place where whatever it is that was going on and that was that affected you and that had been, you know, there like an open wound, it just heals it. And so then it just becomes a part of your life's journey. It also becomes the area from which you're able to minister into the lives of other people too. So, you know, I guess I'm saying all of that to say that there's nothing wrong with seeing a therapist. You know, you do what you have to do, and they're there for a reason, you know, and I know that there are certain mindsets and stuff like that within, like, the Christian community, you know, and we think sometimes that God's going to do everything for us, but the truth is, he doesn't, you know, and he has placed chosen vessels, you know, here on the planet, you know, to be able to help us with things, you know. Doctors are here for a reason. Therapists are here for a reason. Stuff like that. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with seeing a therapist. And if you, you know, if you have certain religious beliefs, you can find therapists that that are trained. They're classically trained, but then they also, you know, could bring in the religious piece that you might feel like you need. And they do have therapists that are out there like that. And this is also when you want to some way to be able to chronicle your findings. And so journaling is always helpful. And you don't have to be a writer in order to journal, you know. And it doesn't have to be any kind of anything formal. It could be a notebook. You know, some people prefer to type. You know, it could just or it could be something pretty that if you feel like that will help you and motivate you to get out there and to write more. You don't have to worry about grammar and punctuation and all that kind of stuff because, you know, all you're doing is just writing down the things that you find for yourself. You know, this is all for you. You don't have to share that journal with anyone. So it doesn't have to be pretty, and the stuff inside can be real. It could be more real than you have ever been, you know, with anyone. Because it's just you dealing with you and you, you know, talking about the stuff that you may not always be able to talk about. And the truth is, you know, when you start talking about your story, unfortunately, your story is attached to other people. So when you're telling your story, you're telling their story too. And, you know, and that can be uncomfortable for people. We don't want to make folks feel bad. We don't want to put their business out there. We don't want to make them feel guilty about stuff that they may have done to us, you know, because, you know, where they were in their lives. And yet, you know, whether that's the case or not, you know, your story is still your story, even though it's attached to other people. And so you deserve validation. That's my whole point with this. You deserve validation. And so that journal serves as a point of validation for you to be able to tell your story and not be interrupted when you're talking. It provides a place for you to be able to, you know, to swear without judgment and, you know, to curse some stuff. Some folks up. I guess it's been a little while now, but I had gone through something, and I was really kind of struggling my way through it. And someone had treated me really foul, and I was really having a hard time with it. And there was some stuff I needed to say, and yet, you know, I didn't really have access to be able to put that out there, you know. And really, I'm not the kind of person who wants to be ripping folks a new one and all that kind of stuff. You know, you have some people who like to be going off on folks. That's not me, you know. I don't like to hurt people. So, you know, but I still had all of this bottled up emotion. I had so much stuff, like almost rage. And I'm like, it's got to go somewhere. And I just gave myself permission to just write some really nasty letters. They were for me. And then when I finished writing them, I felt a whole lot better. I cried through it. It was real ugly. And then I could hit delete. So everything I needed to get out, I was able to get out. And so I guess I'm saying all of that to say, you know, for you, you know, just the writing may very well be that place where you can just dump all of your stuff with no judgment, no eyes, no interruptions. It's just you and your stuff. And you can just put it all out there. You know, that. And so you're doing this so that you can break the cycles of dysfunction in your relationships and you can heal yourself enough to start attracting what you really want into your life. And you're also doing it so that future generations are no longer impacted by the results of woundedness in your life. What a great gift, huh, to be able to pass along, you know, a healthy person, healthy people, healthy generations, healthy families, you know, healthy communities. When we are healthy, you know, doesn't it affect everything, just like when we are unhealthy. It affects everything and everyone that's within our reach. And so we want to make sure that what we are doing is pouring life, abundant life, into future generations too. And so that's our assignment for the week, is to get out there and start recognizing where you are and then processing through like the layers of stuff. If you can kind of, if you can see where you have certain patterns and you've been through a certain situation multiple times, you know, those are the kinds of things. Okay, the players have changed, and the only common denominator in this, oh, that would be me. Yep, I think I need to put that one on the list, you know, that sort of thing. And we want to be real, you know, and so, you know, this is not the time you tell yourself that you are Julie Andrews and that everything is, you know, wonderful, because it isn't. You know, if everything were wonderful, there would be no need for you to have to go through this process of healing and change. We know that there is. So, you know, we're going to just, oh, like the young folks say, we're going to just keep it 100 and just keep it real. So, you know, and we have to be real about who we are, where we are, and the part that we have played in the life that we are living. Yeah, that's real. And, you know, it can be a hard thing to look yourself in the face and see something that you would rather not know was there. And yet, still, one of the most blessed things about God is He loves us right where we are. And even when He has to bring correction and has to show us ourselves, you know, remove the scales from your eyes, even when He has to do that, He does it in such a way where it's like, okay, nope, this is what it is. I'm just showing you. Okay, this is what I want you to do about it. And He'll give you instructions and let you know what you need to do to get out of those kinds of patterns without you feeling like you are like the worst person on the planet. Now, like if you are feeling that level of guilt and frustration with yourself, know that that is not coming from Him, and that's some stuff you're going to need to cast down. That is not how God operates. You know, He is not into beating His kids up. You know, He just lets us know stuff for informational sake and then gives instruction. So, and I am feeling the need to say that God doesn't give suggestions, okay? That's, so I need to put that out there. He doesn't give suggestions. So if He's telling you to do something, He's not suggesting it. You know, it's not for you to ponder. Oh, yes, let me. Yes, I'll consider that. No, it's not for you to consider. You know, it's for you to do. He gives instructions, not suggestions. Okay, now that I've said that, we can keep it moving. I saw a quote today that was really interesting by Paul White as I was preparing for the show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got to add this one in. You know, this was pretty significant. And she said, "Your heart is not a toy. Trust God to bring people in your life who will protect it, not play with it." And I was like, yes, so good, you know, because, you know, you have certain people who just, they don't care, you know. If it's not about them, they don't care how it affects you. But remember, we are at a different place. And so, you know, we are trying to get to a full life. And how do you get to a full life, an abundant life, if you are emotionally bogged down, you know, and trampled over by folks who are mistreating you? You know, that seems almost kind of impossible, you know, to deal with. And so we don't have to. We just don't have to deal with it when we can just, you know, let some folks go. And, you know, you have to know your worth. And so if someone's going to come into your life, even if it's someone who's been there before, you know, they may start off one way, but, you know, when you change, everyone around you has to change too. And so, you know, they just can't deal with you the same way they used to. You know, they may have been, you know, selfish and mean or, you know, whatever their deal was, but, you know, you're not the same person. And so as you continue on your journey and into your self-actualization and, you know, this new you comes out and, well, I mean, really the you were designed to be, when that person emerges, and even as you make small changes, you know, you will not speak to me that way. People will have to, you know, step back and deal with it. You know, yes, I have other things that I do. You know, I write and I have the shows and other stuff that I do, but I have, you know, a real job too. Well, I still got to pay my bills. So, you know, and I tend to work with the elderly. I've had, you know, history of doing that over the last, you know, number of years or whatever. And, you know, and sometimes I tend to deal with people who have had lives that are a little bit different than mine, you know. And so, like, you know, if they have, you know, private caregivers and stuff like that, then they, you know, they have resources. And they're used to being, you know, in control of stuff. They're used to, you know, a lot of them have had help, you know, the help, you know, that kind of thing. And so they talk to people however they want to talk to people, but you're not going to talk to me like I'm stuck on the bottom of your shoe, you know. And I don't have to get nasty with folks. I can just, you know, when they go into behaviors, I just tell them, I'm not speaking to you that way. You will not talk to me that way either, you know. And that's that. So it's interesting because it's almost like here's someone who's, you know, 80, 90 years old getting their butt spanked for the first time. Their parents didn't bother to do it. You know, you can always kind of tell how people were raised. You can see it in their patterns. And, you know, just sit back and watch. I know we have all seen, you know, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90-year-olds throwing tantrums. And you know, oh, if they had just dealt with that when you were 4, 5, and 6, you would not be acting that way now. But I said all that to say that, you know, when I got a revelation, you know, of who I was and what my worth was and what I could put up with and what I didn't have to put up with, there was no amount of money that they could give me that was worth you talking to me like I was scum on the bottom of your shoe. So let's go ahead and just put that out there right now. You will not be speaking to me like that. So, you know, and that's that. And when, you know, but when you present yourself, someone will listen. And they will heed, and they will decide that they're either going to deal with you in this new you, how you are requesting to be dealt with, or they will back off and they will go away. But either way, you win, okay, because they're just not going to be dealing with you that same way. I'll read her quote again because I thought it was so great. Your heart is not a toy. Trust God to bring people in your life who will protect it and not play with it. And that's where I am in my life. I don't know about you, but that's where I am in my life, you know. If you don't mean me any good, step. And it's pretty much just that. It's just that simple. But if you're going to come into my life, you know, be prepared. I'm one of those people. I love hard and I love long, and I give it everything I've got. And so it is not okay. But when my self-esteem was shattered and I didn't really know who I was, I would put up with folks just treating me any kind of way, and any little crumb that I could get would be okay. I am not her anymore. And so it is not okay for me to be ignored. You know, you're going to pour back into me like I pour into you. You know, you're going to respect me like I respect you. You're going to be truthful with me like I'm truthful with you. You know, I give it everything I've got so I can request back that you be somebody who is, you know, who's savory, who's a, you know, who's a sweet smell, who's good to me. I can request that back because I give that. And so, you know, you take from that what you need to take from that. And, you know, but so now, you know, folks aren't really, they're not stepping to me on some other stuff because I don't have to put up with it. And so, like, the aura around me is different. And sometimes we love who we love, And even folks we love, if they are not willing to step up and do right, we'll get left behind. It's very simple, you know, because even though I love you, I love me more. How about that? You know, and that was a real interesting place for me to come to, because I was groomed, you know, growing up to be a certain kind of way and to, you know, meet everyone's needs to the point, almost to the point where I felt like I didn't matter at all, you know, and I didn't know how to speak up for myself. I didn't know how to, you know, to ask for what I wanted, or when I did, sometimes I felt guilty for having needs that were outside of other people. And so, you know, that was a real journey, you know, coming to a place where I felt like I could come into my own and state what my needs were and ask that someone meet my needs. You know, now you can't have a certain list of needs and not state what they are and then expect people to meet them. That's just, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, but you have to put it out there and at least let people know what they're dealing with and give them the option to make the choice. Either they're going to step up and they're going to come correct, or they're going to not. And either way, it's okay, you know. But you put it out there. And so for one who won't, that's fine. Keep it moving. Because there's, trust me, there's somebody out there who will and who is just like that person who's looking for that rare and expensive gem or car. They already know what they're looking for. And so when they see it, they're on it. They already know. So you don't even have to worry about who is going to come into your life. You know, that kind of takes care of itself. You just take care of you. You just keep on, you know, doing it and going through your process. And, yeah, I saw a quote recently, and the person was saying that how the Song of Solomon talks about a relationship with a man and woman. It's written like basically about a woman, and so how a relationship between a man and a woman is like a woman inviting a man into her garden. And so he was talking about it from the standpoint of, you know, women having sex with men, though, you know, just randomly just having sex or whatever. So he's talking about this. He's like, you know, so if, you know, if your body is your garden, then what you need to do, it's your responsibility to keep the snakes and vermin out of it. And I thought that was so powerful and so profound. So anyway, so that's that. That's that. And so, you know, your job will be to keep those people with the patterns that you are trying to steer clear of out of your life. So that takes us right back to that garden analogy. And what you need may not come packaged just how you think that it will. That's important for you to know, you know, because sometimes we are presented with something, and because we have an image in our mind of what we think it's supposed to look like, we throw it away. But let me say this. If what we were normally attracted to was good for us, we wouldn't be here tonight dissecting that section of our lives. So I'm saying all that to say, just be open. The other scripture we're going to talk about tonight is Psalms 37 and 4. And it reads, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And some of the things and people that we thought we wanted was really just our flesh talking. And, you know, we like a certain kind of thing. It has to look a certain kind of way. It has to make a certain amount of money. It has to live here. It has to do that. It has to drive this. Fill in the blank, okay? And so, you know, we have gone for this type of person, because that's what we're talking about, relationships. We have gone for this kind of person over and over and over again. And, you know, the names have changed and the faces have changed. And yet the person is still the same. You still keep attracting the same person to yourself over and over. And so, you know, that's because the flesh wars against the spirit. I'm going to say that again. It wars against the spirit. So anything that your spirit knows is good for you and that your spirit wants, your flesh is going to fight you tooth and nail to not give in to that. Flesh wants what it wants. But when we pursue and focus on meeting the desires of our flesh, we miss the real stuff. We miss the stuff that we really need. So, you know, God is the one who holds the truest desires of your heart. And he's waiting to give them to you. but you have to accept that he sends. And so, you know, I use this analogy when I talk about this, him giving you the desires of your heart, it's that he will give you the desires of your heart. So, you know, if you have a person standing there, and that person is God, and there's a gift in his hand, who has the gift? God has the gift, of course. Okay, and so, you know, in order for him to give you the desire of your heart or to give you the gift, you have to hold your hand out and then actually embrace and take what it is that he gives to you. And if you don't do that, then you don't get the desire of your heart. And so, you know, there have been things that, you know, that he's told me to do, and I'm like, I do not want to do that. And so I typically talk about living in a certain kind of place just because I'm still living in a cold climate, and surely there's some warm climate waiting with my name on it, okay? But, you know, it's freezing outside, and, you know, well, thank God for heat, right? he could say to me, you know, for you, he could say, I need you to pick up and move to Chicago. And you're like, Satan, get the hints. I rebuke you. And, you know, you know, God's a gentleman, so he's not going to force himself on you. He'll come back around again, you know, and I need you to move to Chicago, you know, or wherever, what other cold place you would would never think of being. And so you're thinking, no, I want to go to Florida. It is, I want to be able to wear Bermuda shorts in December, and it's summer year-round. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And he's like, nope, but the things I have for you, the blessings and the opportunities and the doors that I have opened for you are in Chicago. But, of course, he hasn't said that. What he said was, move to Chicago. And so, you know, the conviction kicks in because, of course, you know, he's told you something, and now you're grieving the Holy Spirit, so you feel that, you know. And they're like, oh, I'm in disobedience. Yeah, you're in disobedience. And when you decide to actually step up and do what he's asking you to do and make the move to Chicago, you know, when you are starting to, you know, to pack and to get ready to move there, it's going to feel awful to your flesh. Like, oh, you may have to cry your way through, but that's okay. Go ahead and cry your way through it. But when you get there, you see that there is a level of ease and there is a level of grace that you'd never had anywhere else on the planet. You tried to plant yourself because his provisions for you, he had given you the desires of your heart, but you didn't know that Chicago was the desire because you'd never accepted it. You were in Seattle, you were in Arizona, you were in everywhere else but where he needed you to be. And then you saw the doors that were open, and all the doors that were open, and things were so plentiful and beautiful and in a way that you never really thought that they could be, you know, in a place where you had such heartache and such disappointment, and things just never seemed to line up. And you're like, why? What on earth? You know? And you're disappointed, and you're questioning yourself, and you're wondering, like, you know, did I do the right thing? Or maybe my abilities are not what I thought that they were. They are. But you are out of place. And so until you step up and accept the desire of your heart that he's holding in his hand trying to give you, it's not going to change. So, you know, just know that. And so I say all that to say that, you know, your flesh warned against your spirit. Your spirit already knows that Chicago is where you're supposed to be or whatever. I mean, you know, of course, I'm using that as an example, you know. And, you know, just like your spirit already knows that, you know, this person who looks a certain kind of way or who has a certain kind of lifestyle is not what you need. What you need is the complete opposite of that. And your spirit knows, but your flesh is crying out, oh, it's fighting. Oh, it is fighting so tough. And yet what you need is what you need. And so, you know, your job, what God sends, do what he tells you to do and go where he tells you to go in order to have what it is he's trying to bless you with. And what's so crazy is what he's trying to bless you with is really what you're asking for, but you want to be the one to determine how it comes, and you don't get to determine that. The how is just not in our jurisdiction. That belongs to God and God alone. So we asked him, and we let him know, okay, all right, Jesus, here's what we need. Here's what I want. I'm tired of living this way. You know, please fix this. And know that when you ask him and you're sincere, he will. He is really going to fix what it is that you've asked him to fix. But how he fixes it is going to be his business. Your job is to just go along with it. And so, you know, but know that he, whatever it is that he's asking you to do, for however uncomfortable it feels in your flesh in the moment, just know that he has also provided grace and empowerment. And so there's undergirding there to strengthen you to be able to do what it is that he is requiring of you to do so that you can have what it is that you're asking him to give you. And so, you know, you're not in it by yourself. And remember, everything you need is on your path, just waiting on you to get there. So, you know, not only is, you know, do you have spiritual reinforcement, but he'll send people to help you too. You know, there'll be someone to speak into your life. There'll be someone who's right there. You know, remember, everything you need is waiting on you. So, you know, until you accept it, you know, he can't give you the next thing because you haven't accepted the first thing, you know. But as soon as you open that, you know, when you take that and open the door, then there's somebody there to, oh, yeah. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you how God's been blessing me since, you know, I accepted and I didn't want it either. And then you'll start meeting people who have that same testimony, who had the same struggle that you did, and how they made it through. But the one thing that stands out over and over again is that there are blessings in ways that you could never even imagine. And I'm just thinking about some areas of my life where I really just kind of struggled, like, I don't want to, you know. And yet when I finally submitted and did what he asked me to do, it just opened up door upon door upon door, and my life hasn't, you know, I never looked back. I was able to just, it was stuff that I had wanted. You know, I mean, some stuff I didn't know that I wanted, and then there was stuff that I did know that I wanted and didn't know how to get myself there. But when I accepted the door, my flesh was fighting. my flesh fought, and I just didn't want to have to do some stuff. So, you know, just do what you have to do, and just do what it is that he instructs you to do, and know that it's worth it. So, but also know that what you have been attracting, and what you have, you know, what you've had your eyes set on in a certain kind of way, has not panned out because it's not good for you, you know. And so you can apply this to whatever area of your life you need to apply it in, relationships, you know, business, whatever, you know. Just know that There is a plan and a way to get you to where you want to go, but you've got to do it his way in order to get and to reap the benefits that he has for you. It's an amazing life. Go ahead and just say, I submit, Lord, I submit. Okay, so I'll get off of that. We are down to the last few minutes of the show. I've got an announcement, and so I have been invited to be the MC for an event. It's called the Freedom to Love Again Cruise. And it is June 19th through 22nd next year, going to Cozumel, Mexico. I've never been to Mexico, so I'm pretty excited about that. And it's got a great lineup of speakers and workshop facilitators and activities. And it's actually, you know, pretty reasonably priced stuff too. So, you know, those who have been wounded, you know, in relationships and you just aren't quite there yet, you're just not sure that you can step up there and give it all you've got, or you can give, or you're not sure you can give it anything. You know, this might be the solution to what you're looking for. You know, like I said, she's got a great lineup of people who are just, you know, masters in their field of being able to, you know, to help you to work through some stuff. And again, it's called the Freedom to Love Again Cruise. And so, if you want more information on that, and then I will get a chance to meet you too. How about that? You know, that'd be lovely. So, but if you are wanting some more information on this cruise, you can go to facebook.com/ the Freedom to Love Again Cruise. facebook.com/ the Freedom to Love Again Cruise. And there's information and stuff on there, and you can kind of get more of a feel for, you know, who's going to be there and what they're going to do. And she's got some real interesting kinds of activities and stuff like that planned. So, you know, I think it'll be a really great time. And like I said, it is reasonably priced as well. Okay. And so, and if you haven't, you can join the Say What Book Club. That's my new baby that I have started. And we are a group of avid readers with a voracious appetite for well-written, thought-provoking books. We are readers, writers, and lovers of words all gathered together in one place. How divine. Just love that. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/ Say What Book Club. You can also follow us on Twitter at SayWhatBC. BC is in book club. So, again, on Twitter, that was SayWhatBC. And, you know, we are featuring the works of both emerging and established authors. And it's awesome. We're doing some really great and kind of innovative things. And it's with the purpose of trying to, you know, get some folks some exposure, you know, people who have a really great gift but may not have, you know, huge marketing budgets. And so they're not on the New York Times bestsellers list yet, and yet they have something that's worthy of being there. And we just really want to be able to, you know, feature people who are just excellent in their craft. And so this is really something I love, and I am just so excited to be a part of this. And, you know, so join us, and we would love to have you. And if you are not following me and you wish to do so, and also if you wish to receive more motivational in line with our weekly broadcast, you can do so. I'm on Facebook, again, and that's Tamika Patrice, Tamika, T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E, Kane, C-A-I-N. On Twitter, I am at Tamika Patrice. And to find out more information on my award-winning novel, Season of Change, you can go directly to my website, which is it's TamikaPatrice.com. And you can access all the retailers who are selling the book. It is available in hard copy and on all the e-readers. And the downloads for the e-readers are only $1.99. So, you know, if you are, if you prefer, you know, an electronic read, there you go. You're looking for a book for the weekend, there you go. Season of Change by Tamika Patrice Kane. How about that? Okay. And you can also purchase the book directly from Amazon.com. Okay. And I hope that this week you spend some time, this week coming, you know, that you spend some time looking in the mirror and really seeing yourself as God made you, not seeing yourself through the lies of others or seeing yourself through the eyes of your past experiences. You are so much more than that. Embrace your beautiful self and know that you are worth the life that you were created for, not the life that you have found yourself in or the dysfunction of others you may have inherited. Know that everything you need is lining up, and all you have to do is keep walking forward and doing the work, and you will cross paths with everything you need to be all that you were created to be. As always, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.